All right, I'll go ahead and get started. My name's Guy Collins. I'm from the University of Georgia. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about a different way of looking at cotton variety performance compared to the orthodox way that's been done in the past. To begin with, I'm going to give you a little bit of background on the situation in Georgia. Prior to 2010, over 85% of the cotton acreage in Georgia was planted to a single variety called Delta Pine 555. That variety was a very strong performer in a number of conditions, from extreme dry stress conditions all the way up to heavily irrigated conditions, hence its widespread adoption. And then in 2009, the BT technology, or the EPA registration for that BT technology, expired. So now our growers are forced to switch to two-gene BT technology varieties, beginning in 2010. So prior to 2010, variety selection was largely ignored because we had a one-size-fits-all variety, and it's not the case anymore. And what we're trying to encourage to our growers is to look at several other factors. Now, other states have historically done a lot of this. In Georgia, water is one big issue. There's a big difference in irrigated and dry land conditions in Georgia. Weed control, we're starting to see more variety selection being made based on the herbicide technology that accompanies these varieties. Then several other factors. Probably the next most important one would be the nematodes down here that you see with the loss of Timic insecticide that we had previously for cotton. Nematodes and especially thrips are becoming more important. There are a few varieties out there that are tolerant to root knot nematodes, which do bring a good package for our growers. Now, historically, we've really only had a couple of places to get variety performance information. One of those is official variety trials, or OVT, a very strong program, an established program in Georgia. All throughout that time, our county agents were doing large plot on-farm type trials. But many of those were non-replicated, and as I'll explain later, they didn't have a consistent number of varieties or the same varieties in all these trials. So really the two items you see highlighted there are the only non-biased places they could get information. The rest was incidental. They had some industry trials throughout the state. You have some neighbors doing what they call these MPE trials, or these large block trials, which is a good way to get established and to learn a little bit about the variety, but it's not a statistical comparison amongst a select list of varieties. So up until 2010, really what we had to look at was OVT, which is done in small plot situations, drastically reduces variability or natural variability in the field, and includes a large list of cotton varieties. And I'm only showing you 19 here. The list goes on and on. The ones you see highlighted in blue are statistically the same. And this program was broken down into irrigated and dry land and early maturing versus late maturing, because there's sometimes you run into situations where management practices might reward later maturing varieties versus early, things like that. So you have early maturing irrigated, irrigated late maturing, which you can also see there, and there's a few varieties that overlap into each one of these trials. Dry land early maturing, a lot more that are statistically the same. Dry land late maturing, you see the same thing. Only a handful of varieties overlap between the early and the late maturing situations. So the best that we could do is combine all early varieties together across all environments to get the most robust data set that we could. But you can see here we only have four locations throughout Georgia. That's really all that program can absorb due to the time commitment and the number of varieties that you see in the list here. So it's a very solid program. It's just limited on the number of environments that we have, and then the grouping between late and early maturing varieties. So, and outside of OVT, you had the option of looking at on-farm county trials. Again, many of these were non-replicated, but you combine as many varieties as you can over as many locations, and you hopefully have a robust data set. But you run into problems there, and this is the best case scenario, taken from 2009. Well, we looked at all irrigated trials, and you can see not every variety, and some of these are the ones we really want to look at. But some of them aren't in every single location, so that's not necessarily an accurate comparison. Dryland trials was a much worse case scenario, where we only had six locations maximum, only four of some varieties, and again, that's not necessarily a valid comparison. When I got to Georgia, I started at the end of 2009, and variety selection since 555 was leaving the marketplace. It was very clear to me that was going to be that was going to occupy at least 90% of my time in the coming years. So the first thing I did was establish an on-farm variety testing program that included a select list of varieties. And I wanted to ensure replication across all those sites. And that's what you see illustrated here. This is a couple of sites. This is one that was an irrigated site that you can see. And you can even see the differences in variety performance there. Down here is 555 compared to a very early maturing variety in an extremely stressed dry land situation. And you can see very clearly why our growers like 555. For those situations. So we didn't really know how these other varieties performed. A lot of them were early maturing. Some of them were similar to 555 in terms of maturity. But we really did not have a good feel for their growth, their yield potential in these particular environments. So within 1 year, we were able to establish two critical components to the on-farm testing program, one of which is consistency amongst the select list of varieties. And what we did here, we asked each company to give us their top three performers for Georgia, which we supported. And we also, in a number of these trials, compared that to 555. Now, the supply of 555 was very limited during 2010 because they were really using up two-year-old seed, and then there would be no more from that point on. So if the primary seed companies gave us their top three performers, so we have a consistent list of varieties, and all trials were replicated. We did want to ensure that. All right, so let me back up just for a second. When you see that slide there, we wanted to move away from this type of format and illustrating variety performance. That's across all locations that we had there, okay? But that does not tell the entire story. So we wanted to dissect the data a little bit more and look at the consistency and stability factors associated with each of these varieties. And here what you see, we had 16 trials where 555 was included. And on the left side of the chart, you can see the frequency or the number of out of 16 that this particular variety was number one, number two, or number three. Over here on the right is the percent of the time it was the number one variety within the top two or within the top three. So if you want to compare Delta Pine 1050, for example, to 555, it won very close to the 555, won the same almost the same number of trials. Half the time it was in the top two performers, and in 63% of the time it was in the top three. And one reason we didn't want to show just the data slide by itself is because sometimes these stability factors, like you see right here, don't necessarily follow rank. This rank or combined average over all locations is just based on yield. That does not necessarily reflect the stability factors in many cases. All right, so this is really the format I've been showing to my growers. This looks very complex and confusing, but once you wrap your mind around the idea, it's very simple. Here we have the same list of varieties. They're ranked in descending order based on their combined overall average across all 16 trials that you see there. All right, here are your individual trials listed by number. The ones you see highlighted in blue are irrigated trials. So we had far many more irrigated trials than dry land. And again, prior to this program, we were grouping all irrigated trials together and all dry land trials together. Well, this explains why. Now, irrigated, we could probably pull that off with no problem. Dry land, you can see we had environments from 400 pounds all the way up to 1,300 pounds, depending on the amount of rainfall. So in my opinion, that's too complex to be grouping all dry land environments together. All right. So these trials are ranked in ascending order based on their trial average, starting from the low environments on the left all the way up to the heavily irrigated, high-yield environments on the right. Everything you see highlighted in green indicates that that variety was statistically the same as the number one variety in the trial. So it doesn't mean that 555 was the number one variety in this trial, but everything that was in green is statistically same as the number one variety, which is not clearly illustrated. So when you one downside to the on-farm testing is we're limited on the number of replications that we typically have. In some cases, you can end up with a great deal of variability, like you see in trial number two here, where all the varieties were statistically the same. The upside to doing the statistical analysis on all this, especially in these lower yield environments, the statistics can pick up on small, subtle differences where you have two varieties, for instance, that yield very, very close to each other. It can combine those as well. But if we want to narrow the focus, what I've done here is looking at the top three performers, okay? So they would be statistically the same most of the time, but you're weeding out a few of those that were statistically the same as the number one variety. And this way we can narrow the focus a little bit and look at variety performance across these environments. So 555, again, was number one based on our combined average. It won the trial by 1 pound. Which is hard to find sometimes. Very consistently in the top three varieties in a very wide range of environments. The same goes for 1050. Almost the same number of times in the top three. Very consistent, very stable variety. Performing well from low yield environments all the way up to the heavily irrigated situations. Below this, we start to see a little bit more about placing varieties in environments where they're going to perform their best. You can see Stoneville 5458, for example. It was not in the top three a whole lot of times that you see here, but where it was in the top three was in these mostly in these heavily irrigated situations, and that might suggest that variety should be possibly positioned in an irrigated situation where you have greater yield potential. Again, the combined overall average, as you can see here, does not necessarily reflect consistently because the next variety, Delta Pine 1048, is a little bit more consistent in a number of different trials there. This chart is what I call right side weighted. So the varieties that perform well closer in those higher yield environments will probably do a little bit better in terms of overall average. All right, the next two varieties, Phytogen 375 and Stoneville 4288. This is not one we would typically think would do well in dryland situations, but both of these, you can see when they were in the top three performing varieties, it was on the left side of the chart or in those lower yield environments, indicating that those varieties are probably good dryland varieties and can tolerate a little stress. All right, below that, we start seeing just some sporadic hit and miss type of things, and that's one thing we really stress to our growers is every variety can win, every variety can fail. You got to look for consistency and place those varieties where they're going to perform their best. Narrowing the focus even more to looking at the top two, you can see 1050 again, very close to 555. 5458, it's not in the top two as much as it was in the top three as we saw earlier, but where it was mostly in those irrigated situations. Again, the 375 and 4288 hugging the left side of the chart, indicating they're good dryland varieties, and below that, not much going on. Then we only look at the variety that won each trial. We narrow the focus much, much more, and again, you can see why 555 was our predominant variety. Nowadays, we don't have that option, but looks like 1050 is the closest thing to it. And again, this is only looking at the number one variety. We encourage everybody to look at a mix of what I've shown you so far. So you take 555 and Phytogen 485 out of the trial. We go from 16 up to 23 trials. I'm going to skip right over to the statistic or the stability characteristics here. 1050, when you're only looking at these varieties, it won 50% of the trials and was in the top three almost 80% of the time. Good indicator of stability there. We start to see the combined average reflect a lot of these numbers that you see here, although when we get down here, this combined average does not necessarily do that every time. Again, we want to look at it in this format if possible. So again, looking at the top three, as you can see now, we've got far many more irrigated situations than we did previously. Again, 1050, a very strong performing variety in a number of environments, a very wide range of environments. 1048 now ranks better than Stonepool 5458 that didn't earlier. Also a very consistent performer. 5458 now performing in a range of environments. When we narrow the focus, you'll see more on that. FiberMax 1740 is bumped up in terms of overall average. Again, it's very clear that that one's going to be more a better performer in those high yield situations. And when we go down to Phytogen 375, again, a good dry land performer. Phytogen 565 that we really didn't notice before, we can see where it does perform is in those heavily irrigated situations predominantly. But below that, we get kind of sporadic. Looking at the top two, we narrow the focus a little more. Now we can see 1050 is a much clearer, more consistent variety than even 1048, although 1048 is a good performer. 5458, we've weeded out a few of those now. Again, that looks like it's a more of an irrigated variety as well as 1740. The rest is similar to what we've talked about before. In terms of winning the number of trials, you can see very clearly that 1050 is going to be the top dog. And everything else has got its place, but 1050 does provide a lot of stability and consistency. Now, one way that's less clear, I was hoping it would be more clear, is to group similar environments together to add a little bit more robust data sets. So I've grouped, you know, the 400 to 600-pound environments and just natural breaks that occurred in the data, and then up at the highest we have 1,300 to 1,500 pounds, which is about a three-bale crop. Some varieties are somewhat clear. You see Phytogen 375 performing a little better on this side, and they tend to drop off when we get to those higher yield environments. Really, it's 1050, except for this extreme low end. 1050 is the number one from there, and then the battle between 1048 and 5458 for the number two slot in each of those. We're also using this program to evaluate variety growth characteristics because that can offer us a little bit of predictability about how these varieties might perform. Dr. Glenn Ritchie is in the back of the room. He actually spearheaded a lot of this that's going on, and this is an ongoing project too. This is just a bold distribution curve. It shows where the fruit are on each of the nodes of the plant. This is the curve for 555, doesn't have near the amount of bowls on the bottom of the plant, but as we move to the top, we have more bowls than any other variety. All these new varieties tend to fruit up very, very quickly and then shut down very quickly. And you can see by that green line for 555, that was one of the defining characteristics that allowed that variety to perform very, very well in dry land situations. It had the ability to shed some fruit, and during a dry spell, and once rains returned, it could just start back like no other variety I've ever seen and continue to grow and set bowls on the upper portion of the plant. You can also apply some of this to OVT. Again, in OVT, we don't have that very wide range of environments. We do here, but we only have 7 environments versus 16 or 25 that we typically would have in this program. Here you see the number one variety highlighted in blue. This is only early varieties, the same thing for late varieties, and everything that's highlighted is statistically the same. You can narrow the focus there, although the statistics, in my opinion, carry much more weight in the small plot OVT than they do in the county trial program. You can find our program and at least the results of our program on our website, which is ugacotton.com. You look under breaking news, and it's going to be called the UGA Cotton Variety Performance Calculator. The way we have it set up, you can select up to 5 varieties at a time. You can choose a number of locations or which locations you want, the year and the trial type, whether it's county or OVT or what have you. I've chosen the county trials here, and then we have an option to select which ones you want to pick. I just picked for the most. And then you just get a quick and dirty calculation on how these varieties compare across a number of factors. And down here at the bottom, some information regarding its stability. So in conclusion, there's advantages and disadvantages to both programs, OVT and then this county program that we started. But they really work in good concert when you look at both the data derived from both programs together. OVT, we drastically can reduce natural variability in the field. You have a lot more cultivars, including experimental varieties that we always want to stay abreast of. It's hard to get enough seed for experimental varieties to do it on farm. And we can, typically OVT can be done with fewer people and fewer resources. The one thing I haven't talked about is this county trial program is a very large time commitment on my part. And not being sarcastic, but it's amazing I was able to come to this meeting because this occupies all my time from September, and last year we went to the week of Christmas. And finally we cut it off, and that didn't include every trial that was out there. But in the county program, we get a much wider range of environments to examine these varieties. We can place short season and full season varieties in the same trial to compare. They're managed under grower management, not on the station the way a scientist would manage it, and that can sometimes influence how varieties perform. And then we're able to much clearly examine stability characteristics across a number of those environments. I do want to thank the Georgia Cotton Commission. They support a lot of my program, and as well as Bayer Crop Science, Monsanto, and Dow AgriSciences, who are strong participants and supporters of this program, as well as our county agents in Georgia. Now, one thing I haven't said is that we have to rely on good cooperating growers and good county agents who are willing to do this trial correctly and do it right, because that can make a mess of things and hurry if somebody's not really devoted to this program. So I do really want to thank them. That'll conclude my remarks, and I'll be happy to take any questions if anyone has any. Thank you.